ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება. ინგლისური ენის ტესტის მოსმენის დავალება.
This is the listening part of the teacher's national test in English. You'll be given two tasks and you'll be able to listen to each text twice. You'll be given some time before and after the tasks as well. Please do the tasks while listening.
Task 1. You will hear an interview with one of Britain's most successful recording artists, Katie Melua. For questions 1 through 12, fill in the gaps with one or two words. You will have 45 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice. In today's program, we talk to Katie Melua, the award-winning British singer who has one of the most enchanting voices of her generation. So, Katie, what's your earliest musical experience?
Well, the first time I heard music that completely grabbed me was Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata that my mom was playing on the piano when I was 6 years old. It's a memory I've reflected upon from time to time over the years. The music totally blew my mind, and I remember listening to it in the candlelight, because back in the 1990s, electricity in Georgia would always go out every night, and the crazy thing about it was that you never knew if it would come back in 5 minutes or an hour or the next morning. So my family had to learn how to entertain ourselves. My mom would play the piano, and we'd listen to her. It felt as if my heart was just dancing. All I've ever tried to do is keep those feelings alive when it comes to making music.
Your parents moved from Georgia to Northern Ireland, and then after a few years there, you moved to England. And you were spotted, am I right, at the art school?
Yeah, I studied music at the Brit School when Mike Batt came to the school. Back then, he was already a very famous songwriter and producer whom I knew nothing about. Little did I know that his visit would make such a big difference to my future career. At the time he came to the school, he was in his 50s, and I had just turned 18. He visited the school in search of a suitable voice for a new album, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. He was looking for a young singer in a style of the late Eva Cassidy, and I was a big Eva fan. I'd just written a song in tribute to Eva, and I played it to him, and he liked it. It was how our collaboration began.
You've given an underwater concert. Was it very different from your usual concerts?
Well, back in 2005, I got a phone call and I was asked to do an underwater concert at the bottom of the gas mine off the coast of Norway in the North Sea, and it turned out to be the deepest underwater concert ever at 303 meters. It was quite extraordinary. I'll never forget it. For a start, the day before we went down, we spent the whole day training. It was just like doing military drills. We had to remember the safety measure rules by heart. We were given lifeguard suits to wear in case of emergency. Then we were taken by helicopter to the top deck of the mine, and the ride down in the lift took 9 minutes. We held two underwater concerts for the people working on the gas mine. The concerts were the oil company's gift to its employees to celebrate their 10th anniversary. There were about 25 people at each concert. The concert was entered in the Guinness Book of World Records as the deepest concert ever performed underwater.
Did you enjoy singing under the sea?
Well, I felt good at having visited the mine under the sea and having experienced something that no one else had. The most magical moment of it was when I started singing. I really enjoyed performing because the ceiling was very high and so the acoustics were incredible. It was a totally unreal experience.
When we last met, You were a young singer at the start of your career, and today you're world famous. How do you feel now?
I consider myself very lucky. Everything's happened so fast and easily. I sometimes have to pinch myself to make sure it's not a dream. But I feel I need to keep on changing and experimenting all the time. There's nothing more sad than a musician who keeps doing the same thing year after year, trying to repeat his or her initial success. Music enables you to express what's in your heart.
A flower has reportedly been named after you.
I somehow even feel embarrassed talking about that. In Holland, there's a type of tulip named Malua, and botanists spent 20 whole years cultivating it. I got a phone call from Holland asking me if I'd agree to give it my name. It's very touching.
And finally, do you consider yourself British or Georgian or both?
Oh, definitely both. I think I'm British in my mind and Georgian in my heart. You see, I call England home really because I've been living here for such a long time now, but Georgia is in my heart. It is somewhere I will always go back to.
In today's program, we talk to Katie Malua, the award-winning British singer who has one of the most enchanting voices of her generation. So, Katie, what's your earliest musical experience?
Well, the first time I heard music that completely grabbed me was Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata that my mom was playing on the piano when I was 6 years old. It's a memory I've reflected upon from time to time over the years. The music totally blew my mind, and I remember listening to it in the candlelight, because back in the 1990s, electricity in Georgia would always go out every night, and the crazy thing about it was that you never knew if it would come back in 5 minutes or an hour or the next morning. So my family had to learn how to entertain ourselves. My mom would play the piano, and we'd listen to her. It felt as if my heart was just dancing. All I've ever tried to do is keep those feelings alive when it comes to making music.
Your parents moved from Georgia to Northern Ireland, and then after a few years there, you moved to England. And you were spotted, am I right, at the art school?
Yeah, I studied music at the Brit School when Mike Batt came to the school. Back then, he was already a very famous songwriter and producer whom I knew nothing about. Little did I know that his visit would make such a big difference to my future career. At the time he came to the school, he was in his 50s, and I had just turned 18. He visited the school in search of a suitable voice for a new album, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. He was looking for a young singer in a style of the late Eva Cassidy, and I was a big Eva fan. I'd just written a song in tribute to Eva, and I played it to him, and he liked it. It was how our collaboration began.
You've given an underwater concert. Was it very different from your usual concerts?
Well, back in 2005, I got a phone call, and I was asked to do an underwater concert at the bottom of the gas mine off the coast of Norway in the North Sea, and it turned out to be the deepest underwater concert ever at 303 meters. It was quite extraordinary. I'll never forget it. For a start, the day before we went down, we spent the whole day training. It was just like doing military drills. We had to remember the safety measure rules by heart. We were given lifeguard suits to wear in case of emergency. Then we were taken by helicopter to the top deck of the mine, and the ride down in the lift took 9 minutes. We held 2 underwater concerts for the people working on the gas mine. The concerts were the oil company's gift to its employees to celebrate their 10th anniversary. There were about 25 people at each concert. The concert was entered in the Guinness Book of World Records as the deepest concert ever performed underwater.
Did you enjoy singing under the sea?
Well, I felt good at having visited the mine under the sea and having experienced something that no one else had. The most magical moment of it was when I started singing. I really enjoyed performing because the ceiling was very high and so the acoustics were incredible. It was a totally unreal experience.
When we last met, you were a young singer at the start of your career, and today you're world famous. How do you feel now?
I consider myself very lucky. Everything's happened so fast and easily. I sometimes have to pinch myself to make sure it's not a dream. But I feel I need to keep on changing and experimenting all the time. There's nothing more sad than a musician who keeps doing the same thing year after year, trying to repeat his or her initial success. Music enables you to express what's in your heart.
A flower has reportedly been named after you.
I somehow even feel embarrassed talking about that. In Holland, there's a type of tulip named Malua, and botanists spent 20 whole years cultivating it. I got a phone call from Holland asking me if I'd agree to give it my name. It's very touching.
And finally, do you consider yourself British or Georgian or both?
Oh, definitely both. I think I'm British in my mind and Georgian in my heart. You see, I call England home really because I've been living here for such a long time now, but Georgia is in my heart. It is somewhere I will always go back to.
Task 2. You will hear four people talking about books and reading. For questions 1 through 4, choose answers A through F from the list according to what each speaker says. Use each letter only once. Two letters are extra. You have 30 seconds to look through the task. You will hear the recording twice. Speaker 1.
I read quite a lot, but I can't really say I prefer one kind of literature to another. I like to go through celebrity magazines like Hello to see how people who are rich and famous actually live and see the sort of clothes they wear. I feel a bit guilty because it's useless stuff, really. You don't actually get anything out of it. I do read fiction as well. But if it's a bit difficult, I have this bad habit of looking at the last chapter to find out what happens. Then it doesn't seem worth reading through to the end.
Speaker 2. Well, I read a lot, but not fiction. I prefer nonfiction, like true crime. In the future, I'd like to become a criminal psychologist, trying to figure out what makes people commit crimes. So I guess that's how I got interested in reading about that kind of thing. Reading literature will help me in the future. Right now, I'm halfway through a book called Raging Bull. It's about a crazy boxer. There's a film with the same name. It's a great film. Speaker 3.
A lot of my friends won't read anything if it was written more than 5 or 10 years ago. They say old books aren't worth reading, but I don't agree. I mean, if people have kept on buying and reading them for 50 or 100 years, it shows that they are worth it. Of course, it depends on the book. Some of them can be a bit complicated and hard to read, but it's worth carrying on to the end. Lord of the Rings was written over 50 years ago, but it's a masterpiece, even better than the film.
Speaker 4. When I was small, my parents used to read to me a lot, especially at bedtime. I used to like reading comics and books with lots of pictures. Nowadays, I actually prefer reading to watching movies. You've got more time to think. I work in the music business, which is great, but it can be stressful, and I find that a good novel helps me escape from stress and anxiety for a while. I suppose I'm a reading addict. I usually read several books at the same time. Speaker 1.
I read quite a lot, but I can't really say I prefer one kind of literature to another. I like to go through celebrity magazines like Hello to see how people who are rich and famous actually live and see the sort of clothes they wear. I feel a bit guilty because it's useless stuff, really. You don't actually get anything out of it. I do read fiction as well. But if it's a bit difficult, I have this bad habit of looking at the last chapter to find out what happens. Then it doesn't seem worth reading through to the end.
Speaker 2. Well, I read a lot, but not fiction. I prefer nonfiction, like true crime. In the future, I'd like to become a criminal psychologist, trying to figure out what makes people commit crimes. So I guess that's how I got interested in reading about that kind of thing. Reading literature will help me in the future. Right now, I'm halfway through a book called Raging Bull. It's about a crazy boxer. There's a film with the same name. It's a great film. Speaker 3.
A lot of my friends won't read anything if it was written more than 5 or 10 years ago. They say old books aren't worth reading, but I don't agree. I mean, if people have kept on buying and reading them for 50 or 100 years, it shows that they are worth it. Of course, it depends on the book. Some of them can be a bit complicated and hard to read, but it's worth carrying on to the end. Lord of the Rings was written over 50 years ago, but it's a masterpiece, even better than the film.
Speaker 4. When I was small, my parents used to read to me a lot, especially at bedtime. I used to like reading comics and books with lots of pictures. Nowadays, I actually prefer reading to watching movies. You've got more time to think. I work in the music business, which is great, but it can be stressful, and I find that a good novel helps me escape from stress and anxiety for a while. I suppose I'm a reading addict. I usually read several books at the same time.
This is the end of the listening part of the test.
Მოსმენის დავალება დასრულებულია.